Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Right now, the weather in Greenville, Spartanburg is 75, downtown 78, Anderson 75, Clemson 76. And today, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy. Hot, humid, in the highs in the upper 90s again. North winds are at 5 miles per hour, becoming southeast this afternoon.
Indeed. We thank the production staff for that great weather report. Hope that you get prepared as you need to on your way out to work this morning. Had some, I had to love Corey Burnell's quip this morning. He sent a copy of an email he sent out regarding Christian Exodus to Mr. Graham, who was, I thought he was talking about Lindsey Graham at first, but he's actually talking about the, I think it's the Michael Graham show. He said, "Dear Mr. Graham, I put my newest he says, "I just put on my newest tinfoil hat on my head, and I was taking a gulp of fluoridated water when it dawned on me that the best way for you or listeners to find out just how crazy I am is to be a guest on your show. Though I'm a little concerned that this foil could negatively react with my cordless phones, I'll have to use a landline if you don't mind. In all seriousness, contact me if you want the truth about Christian Exodus. I'd love to appear on your show. God bless, Corey." Indeed. Well, I'm sure he's getting lots of flack, as always, about the Christian Exodus movement. There are liberals are up in arms about it here as well. Looks like we're having some transmission trouble this morning. Apparently, some folks are not hearing us in the upstate again. Sorry about that. Of course, you wouldn't know. I'm apologizing to you because you can't hear me. But we'll be working on that for those who FYI, we'll be trying to get that squared away as soon as possible here. And we'll be continuing with the show in the meantime for those of you who can listen. Appreciate Corey Burnell and the Christian Exodus Movement. We also have a fellow who wrote in named Scott. He said, "Would you be willing to spread the word about www.draftresistance.org? It's a site dedicated to shattering the myths about surrounding the selective slavery system and building mass civil disobedience to stop the draft before it starts. Our banner on a website, printing and posting the anti-draft flyer, or just telling friends would help." And signed Scott. Well, I agree. The draft is complete slavery. Absolutely. It is a slavery system. Why is it a slavery system? Aren't you being unpatriotic, Dr. Coben? No. People who want to fight in a war of self-defense volunteer. This has been the history of things. Just like when you, if somebody were attacking your family, you would voluntarily take the weapon and shoot the invader, or the aggressor. A draft is not necessary to promote a godly or just war of self-defense. Drafts are necessary when governments who treat people like ants run out of supplies, that is, materiel, human materiel, if I can call it, or personnel, to fight its ongoing insane wars. And this is the case with the Iraqi war, and it has been with many other wars in the 20th century. The reason the slavery or draft is slavery is because it compels people against their will to devote their labor or give their labor to the government for the wages set by the government, which are known to be not too high, and to put one's own life in jeopardy for the purposes of the aggressive war and power of the building of power of the person in power, the government leaders. Therefore, it is truly slavery. There is no question you are being compelled against your will to do a certain kind of labor for an employer that you didn't agree to work for. That's what the draft is all about. Notice it is not a problem to go into the military and fight there on your own volition. You choose to be in the military, fine. That's your choice. But to force other people to go in there is not okay. That is a slavery position. And so draftresistance.org, I suppose, has something to do with this. The site says this, statement of purpose. This site is a crime against the military Selective Service Act. It advocates we are specifically encouraging resistance to the registration laws of the United States. Seeing registration as a necessary step towards conscription in the draft, we are what the Selective Service calls anti-war intellectuals. We see the direct link between registration, the draft, and aggressive war. Remember, non-registration is a strategy to beat the draft. If enough of us refuse, then there's nothing they can do. And that is by the site director, Scott A. Kohlhaas. And I concur entirely. Now, here's a question for us on Christian worldview. We are told to obey every ordinance of man. In fact, why don't we open the scriptures there? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. What does that say? Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Okay, so the scripture makes it pretty clear that we are supposed to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. Now, we know on its face that this is not an absolute command, because the apostles themselves, as well as people like Daniel in the Old Testament and elsewhere in the scriptures, refused some of the ordinances of men, like stopping to preach the gospel, like bowing down before golden statues, and so forth. We know that there is a point to which we have to rebel, or if you want to call it that, or disobey. They'll always look at you as a rebel, and we look at ourselves as obeying God and disobeying the evil edicts of men, resistance to tyrants. But where do you draw the line? This is a very important question, and it's really not one that's settled in the Christian faith, or the first Christian community, I should say. Some people, I remember Dr. Tony Beam, when I was on the radio show with him before, would advocate that there should be virtually nothing that you resist, that all of it is ordained by God, except for right when they're, you know, telling you to stop preach the gospel. And I suppose he would say if they told you to abort your children, you wouldn't do that. He probably has a few other things on his list that, you know, his favorite things that he would obey God in rather than men. Then there is the theonomic group, which says, look, you don't have to obey ungodly edicts, period. If it's not in the scripture and can't be justified clearly as a principle in the Old or New Testament, then you do not have to obey it, period. It's not God's law, it's man's law, and it needs to be rejected. There's the liberty of conscience point of view, which says, look, all these edicts need to be obeyed only when expedience takes place, or is fitting. Sorry, not takes place, is fitting. In other words, they're tapping you on the shoulder with a big stick, about to beat you with it, unless you comply with something. And as long as it's not completely ungodly what they're asking you to do, and they're causing you to sin in some way, then you go ahead and you obey it. Whether it's paying a tax, whether it's not talking, whether it's running around the block three times backwards, any of those things are irrelevant as far as any moral implications to a Christian. In terms of sinning or non-sinning, so we just don't do them unless we're compelled to, and then we go ahead because it's no big deal. It's just a waste of time. Now, if they were to tell us to sin, to send our kids to a public school, to stop going to church, to not preach the gospel, to abort every child after one, to defraud somebody, to take welfare, to do a number of other ungodly things, then we must resist. The gray area stuff is even more difficult to tell. Maybe this, for some people, this draft thing is part of a gray area. What are your thoughts on it? 244-8177 is, of course, the phone number here, 864-244-8177. And we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear what we should do with the draft. What should Christians be doing when the draft comes up in their face? I'm saying that you need to resist. You need to tell the government, no, I'm not going to register. I think this is what Scott Kohlhaas is saying, and I agree. Why? Because you should not be forced into slavery. It's unbiblical. In fact, my Times Examiner articles in August are going to deal with the whole theology of enslavement. Any time that you have involuntary servitude, you're talking about something that is sinful and wrong. It doesn't mean, now notice I didn't say if you were enslaved by someone, that you you can't continue in that and be a godly person. If you're enslaved by communists into their work system, if you're enslaved in some other way by people in the Roman Empire who kidnap you and you can't escape, fine. That's just the way, that's what Paul tells you, to be content with that. On the other hand, at any time you can be free, and I believe that means by legal or illegal means, then you get free. And here is a case where we have the draft. And I think you can disobey the government when it asks you to register. You should not be registering for the slavery system. God tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that you should not become slaves of men. So it's one of those exceptions here to the 1 Peter rule, obey every ordinance of man, where you need to disobey this on account of godliness, on account of trying to obey the rest of the Word of God. And before we take our break, I'll just read this quickly to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 21 through, or verses 20 through 24. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state which he was called. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, I'll make some comments about this some more when we come back from our break. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're still working on our transmission issues here, in case anybody's wondering, and we'll get those corrected as soon as possible. It is, of course, July 26, 2005. Forgot to mention that earlier. And we are at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben talking about a very important issue. If you'd like to call the show to talk about the draft and registration for the draft, we'd be happy to hear from you. 864-244-8177. Well, here are the seven reasons why you should refuse to register with the selective slavery system. And I said right before the break we'd go over some of these passages in 1 Corinthians 7. Let me jump back to that, and then we'll come over to Scott's site once again. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, for instance, it says, "Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it." In other words, don't get so worked up that you're enslaved and you can't serve Christ as you would because you have an earthly master that dominates your time and your life is subject to him. You can't do anything about it. Don't worry about it. But if you can be free, rather use it. Or some translations say, avail yourself of the opportunity. To avail oneself of the opportunity. Now here's the rub. Everybody says and agrees that I've talked to that this means that, yes, if you can find a means to get legally free, in other words, get manumitted, then go ahead and do it. But there is another side of this, and that is the so-called illegal side, which people are contentious about. And they'd say, no, you can't run away. It'd be sin for you, if you were a slave, to take off, to not be around, to totally change your living circumstances in order to avoid being a slave anymore. And how about this? In order to get away, you have to disable your master, stab him in the shoulder, or tie him up or something, and then run away. All illegal, all against the laws of men. Well, should you be able to do that? Is it wrong? Would it be wrong for you to do that? Well, that's the great question we're asking this morning, and Paul, I think, is saying here that you may do that sort of thing. You don't have to worry about, the kind of action that you take. Why do I say that? Well, it says here, in verse 21, if you can be made free, avail yourself of the opportunity, or as the New King James says, rather use it, or do it, in the King James. Well, interesting. How can you avail yourself of the opportunity to be manumitted by out of your control? You see, you have nothing to do with your own manumission in legal sense. You could inquire of your master, can I be free? But it's up to him. It's his choice. This commandment here, avail yourself of the opportunity, the way I read it at any rate, implies that there is action taken on the part of the slave to become free, more than just making a request. Making a request does not make you free. You're made free by actually undertaking the action. And I think that would be the action of running away if necessary. Now somebody's going to jump in there and say, what about Philemon? And I'll come to that in just a minute. And then we'll get back, I suppose, to Scott's questioning. What about Philemon? Well, we may take up Philemon in just a few minutes, because Philemon and Onesimus, that case is, it gets very controversial once again, and something we need to discuss, especially as we are, interested in how Christians should respond to the whole issue of the draft. Let me continue on here. For he who is called the Lord's while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become the slaves of men. Paul's basically telling them, look, folks, you are still serving Christ in your capacity as a slave. You don't have to worry about that fact. God has freed you in Christ, and you need to stand fast in that freedom, as Galatians 5:1 says, not only spiritually, but evidently, vocationally and politically. It's an interesting case that many of the founding fathers, the pastors of that era, would use Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, should not just refer to the bondage of the law, but they referred to the bondage of King George and of Caesar. And here again, we see that Paul is using this idea of freedom with respect to political or vocational things as well, not simply not simply spiritual freedom from bondage to the law. Well, that in and of itself is interesting, but ultimately Paul says, here's the rule for you. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. And that means do not voluntarily become a slave. And there are different kinds of slavery. Remember, some people were enslaved because of they owed some money or they committed a crime. So for those, you know, you definitely want to get to such heavy debt that you become someone's slave. And you definitely don't want to be committing crimes in general, but certainly not don't want to end up being a slave on account of committing a crime. You can, you know, you shouldn't voluntarily become someone's slave just because you like the security of it and because you want to be taken care of the rest of your life. Paul does not permit that for a Christian. You should not voluntarily enter into the servitude of other folks. Now, there were legitimate reasons for enslaving people in the Old Testament, again, for debt or for committing a crime. I don't think Paul's prohibiting slavery here on a voluntary basis or even on a punishment basis, but he's saying that Christians should not get involved with it. It should not be the rule of the life for the Christian, for the believer, to be enslaving himself. So that's interesting enough, but then it comes to the whole issue of kidnapping and involuntary servitude, and I think that's what the draft implies. I think it's implying that we need to avoid any kind of involuntary servitude. It's a wrong thing, and I'd like to know what you have to think about that. It's a thing that we can rebel against, I think. I think it's something we must rebel against if we want to use the state's term, resist or not, or disobey the state in. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the house to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. We're talking about the slavery and why you should refuse to register with a selective service system and things like that. Quite a controversial topic. Be glad to hear from you as you discuss the or as you think about this issue in greater detail. I'm a little flustered here this morning because we've got so many technical problems I'm trying to deal with at the same time, and the Tyranny Response Unit is just not good at multitasking. If anybody knows the Tyranny Response Unit, you know that's to be the case. Before I continue, I've got to remind folks, Rippin' Richie has started his show in the afternoon. If you have an opportunity to listen to the show in the afternoon, we would encourage you to do so. 4:30 to 6 p.m. right here on the Tyranny Response Network, same dial, channel, and all that kind of stuff. It's the same place. You can have an opportunity to listen to Rip and Richie discuss some of the great issues of the day along with Bob Llewellyn in the afternoon. So at any rate, we are talking about slavery here, folks. We're not just talking about the draft. We're talking about slavery. And what should we do when we're confronted with being enslaved to somebody else, like George Bush, for instance. And we have a call coming in. We'd like to take our first caller this morning. Welcome to Christian Worldview. You're talking to Dr. John Coben, and we're discussing the draft this morning. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, good morning. This is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Good morning.
How are y'all doing?
Good. Thanks.
Well, good. Beautiful morning here. Wanted to let you know I'm picking up your show loud and clear.
Okay.
And it's good discussion.
Great. Oh, good.
I agree with you.
Agree with me. All right. Well, that's great. I'm glad we have people who agree. You know, it's so nice to be so persuasive that we've convinced the folks out there. You know, somebody was just passing by and told me, well, you know, what about the whole business of having to register to vote in order to get a driver's license? I think it only applies to 16-year-olds, not to 18-year-olds. I may be mistaken about that. But what would you suggest that we do in that circumstance, Chuck?
Now, you sure you're talking about register to vote, not register for the draft?
Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. See, still flustered. Register for the draft.
Okay. Well, for one thing, if you look around, there are several people who have managed to drive without a driver's license, so that's an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bagnarek, I know the presidential candidate in the last election for the Libertarian Party, does not have a driver's license.
Hmm.
I believe you've had John Quaid on the radio, too, and he talks about driving without a license or a tag.
Okay.
So that's one possibility. Of course, there's the old Canada thing people did during the Vietnam War, which some people thought was awful. I grew up being taught that that was awful, but I'm not so sure now.
Yeah, well, why would it be any less slavery then than it is now? I mean, I grew up hearing the same thing, that you were unpatriotic, that it was wrong to resist the draft and so forth, but I don't see why. I mean, if you're going to be enslaved to somebody, I mean, what if my children had to be enslaved to go and fight George Bush's war? I think I would tell them not to get a driver's license. I mean, you know, if somebody asks them, why don't you have a driver's license, you can say, because I'm a conscientious resistor against the draft. You don't even have to know anything else. You don't even have to give them, you know, theoretical reasons why we have a right to travel and that we're really not driving and all those other things that Quaid and others have expounded so well. All you have to say is, I don't want to be a slave of the state, and therefore they wouldn't give me a driver's license unless I registered, so I don't have one.
It'd be interesting to try. I don't know all the ins and outs. What would be the repercussions of it?
Right. Well, that's an interesting question. I think when you're... I may be mistaken about this, but I think if you get to be age 18, then you can get a driver license. You just can't get it when you're 15 or 15 and a half or whatever it is, unless you register for the draft.
Now, here's a question for you. I don't know my history that well. What would be the oldest that a person has been and been drafted? Or what would the maximum age have been historically?
I think it's 45, but I don't know for sure because, the original intent of the Founding Fathers was all the way up to age 45, was the age for draftable men. Of course, women were never included back then. And I don't know if, I think in the Confederacy, as I recall, they drafted actually all the way up to age 50 eventually in their conscription. But I may be mistaken about that. I just a vague recollection of something I read.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that it's typically the young people we talk about, and some have said, well, there might be people who are religious or conscientious objectors to war, but they still owe the country a public service, therefore we should have 2 years or 4 years of forced labor of some kind, regardless of what kind they pick. And I still think it's forced labor, and in some ways I think they pick the young because you're too young to know any better at that age.
Yeah. And they in other places in the world, we had a German exchange student last year, and he was saying that they all owed a year or a year and a half or something like that of forced labor to the state of Germany, either in community service or in military operations, as part of their civic duty as being a good German citizen. And so people, many other places in the world apparently are accustomed to having a period of enslavement by the state. But people don't like to talk in these terms. We think slavery is abolished and all that, but Chuck and I agree, and maybe you do too, and maybe not, but we agree at any rate that the draft is slavery. It's forced labor. My producer's giving me the high sign here, Chuck. We had to run to a break. But you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to be back in a minute. Appreciate the call this morning, Chuck, and look forward to hearing from you again soon. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Dr. John Coben, visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
The
Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Right now, the temperature in Greenville, Spartanburg is 78, downtown 81, Anderson 78, Clemson 79. Mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy, hot, humid with highs in the upper 90s. North winds around 5 miles per hour, becoming southeast this afternoon.
And we're talking about slavery this morning on the Christian Worldview Show. Believe it or not, why slavery? Because the draft is in the news again. Registering for the draft before you get a driver license. Caller Chuck just suggested that people not get a driver license. And I think this is probably a good way to rebel against the draft, or if you want to say rebel or resist or whatever the word might be that you prefer, they'll look at it as rebellion and being unpatriotic. But I think we ought to go ahead and consider that. There is, in fact, that may be the method of choice. Well, here's the seven reasons why you should refuse to register with a selective slavery system, according to Scott, who had sent an email to me this morning. Life ownership is the first reason. The most important reason why you should not register for the draft is because you own your own body. You own your life. With the draft, the government says they own your life, and they do whatever they want with your body for as long as they want when they decide the time is right. So don't register. There's also the slippery slope issue. Another reason you should not register for the draft is because registration brings us one step closer to conscription. The draft, when you register with Selective Service, you are not registering to win a new car, nor registering to win a free vacation. You are giving Selective Service your vital statistics so they can prepare the coming draft. Selective Service sees your signature as your sign of approval. They hold up the number of registrants and say, these people are in favor of the draft. If you don't plan to let yourself be drafted, then don't register. Otherwise, you are sending Selective Service the wrong message. So don't register. The third reason you don't want to register is because it's patriotic. The draft has nothing to do with patriotism. The U.S. has used conscription for fewer than 40 years of its 225-year existence. Of course, it was used by Lincoln and by Jefferson Davis. Should mention that. The Selective Service System is an alien culture. It belongs to totalitarians. It's incompatible with a free society. This country is supposed to be respectful of individual rights and freedom of choice. When it comes to war, we shouldn't fight unless we have to. But if we have to defend ourselves, we should be fighting not for the soil or the cloth of the flag, but for the great ideas like freedom and choice and choice and free enterprise and all the freedoms, press, religion, speech, assembly that we hold dear. The fourth reason you should resist registration to the draft is it's easy. Basically, we're asking you to do nothing. Do not lift a finger to help the Selective Service System. If you want to ensure that this massive civil disobedience is successful, then you may want to take the next step and convince your friends not to register to toss the Selective Service materials when you see them. The fifth reason is you don't have to. Over 3 million names have been referred by the Selective Service System to the Justice Department for possible prosecution for violation of the Military Service Act, failure to register. 3 million. They have prosecuted 13 people since 1980. What are they going to do? Build concentration camps? Your chances of being struck by lightning are better than your chances of being prosecuted for refusing to register. Sixth, anti-intervention. The draft is not necessary to defend this country and never has been. Wherever this country was threatened, people rushed to its defense because it's the voluntary responsibility of everyone to participate in defense of freedom. And seventh, the X factor. Selective Service spends every hour of the day planning for heinous crime of conscription. That is who they are. It's what they do. They are like the Terminator. They would draft your grandmother if the order came down. But their planes and in their plans lies a variable, the X factor. The X factor is called resistance. They don't know exactly how much resistance there will be to reintroduction of conscription. They only have some idea of how much people will freak out. One way to gauge the X factor is non-registration. When they see resistance level higher than any time during the Vietnam War, they know they're in trouble. They actually try and live out their fantasy, so don't register. That's what he says to you today. Don't register. I agree. Don't register, even if it means driving around without a license. Let me remind you about one thing before we go to a break. The scientists who oppose or who find Darwinism unconvincing conference is coming up. Top 8 scientists around the country are going to be here in Greenville at the Palmetto Center August 4th, 5th, and 6th. You should go to PiedmontTravel.com and register. It's a great event. It's a little bit pricey, but obviously you're getting some pretty big names in here, and it should be a wonderful opportunity to hear them, these people, present the current evidence against Darwin. I also want to remind you that this week on Thursday evening, you have the Greenville County Taxpayer Association, the Downtown Greenville Library. Tomorrow night, you have the Greenville County Libertarian Meetup at Cafe Underground in downtown Greenville. All of these events on the calendar are available at tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. Great meetings. You should try to attend if you can. I attended the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting yesterday, as was on the calendar, and listened to the three candidates for Senate talk, and also Dr. Stephen Yates talk about Freedom 21. And it was a great, great meeting. It was good to go out and hear that. And I also learned that the only Republican worth voting for of those three is a guy named Warren Mowry. The other ones don't even know what the Constitution says, or they're neocons, especially one of them. So anyway, you can learn about these sorts of things when you go to these conferences and these meetings. So don't miss the Libertarian Party meetup tomorrow night or the Greenville County Taxpayers meeting at the downtown library on Thursday night, if you at all possible. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're here hurling this morning the idea of conscription in a draft. Isn't that what liberals do? Well, maybe they do, but like one of our production staff says so keenly, even a blind hog once in a while finds an acorn. And they're right about this if they are opposing it. It is wrong to have military conscription. It is a form of slavery. In fact, it's the most egregious kind of slavery because it's one carried out by the state itself. It's a terrible thing. Well, here's some quotations or some things out of the draft of my article, which is online at policyofliberty.net. This is called The Theology of Public Policies of Enslavement. Just happened to be writing about this. In fact, these articles will appear in print and on the Free Market News Network, as well as Libertarian Christians, probably in August, early August. And there'll be a Liberty Minute made up of it, an audio file, and so forth. Here are a few excerpts from it. According to the dictionary, a slave is a person who is owned by someone who is abjectly subservient to a specified person or influence. The draft would certainly be included there. Many libertarians, constitutionalists, and patriots claim modern Americans are slaves. They reckon Americans are not free, not truly free. In order to work, Americans often need to get a permit. They have to get a credential, a license from the state. If they own their own business, the regulation is even more egregious. They are further compelled to forfeit around half of their earnings to the state through various taxes, which are then spent to support pagan seminaries, public schools, the welfare state, and many other objectionable policies. They can be conscripted into military service against their wills, forced to expend their labor for the state, and risking their lives by fighting the aggressive wars it sanctions. They do not truly own their lands and homes, merely having the privilege to use and possess them so long as the fee, called the property tax, is paid and the state's rules are all complied with. Americans are also compelled to use a fiat currency, which singularly enjoys legal tender status, instead of privately issued notes or commodity money, such as gold and silver, forcing them to participate in the welfare debt and welfare state debt and funding racket. The state even requires couples to obtain its permission prior to marrying. In the starkest terms, the American actually differs little from a feudal serf in his legal standing, economic freedoms, and personal liberties. And let me skip on to something else that's important to read here, I think, too, and think about this morning when we're talking about this issue of slavery, as it relates to the draft, for instance, or it could be anything else in life. As I just mentioned, in American life, we don't think of ourselves as part-time slaves. But in reality, we are. Is slavery wrong? In his excellent article, The Bible, Slavery, and the America's Founders, 2003, Stephen McDowell outlines the biblical view of slavery. This is interesting from a Christian worldview suggestion or idea. The Old Testament prohibited involuntary servitude by means of abduction. He who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:16. So kidnapping a person and putting him into slavery, we would say, would even not, in this case, just kidnapping him was a capital offense under the old covenant. If a man is caught kidnapping any of his countrymen of the sons of Israel and deals with him violently or sells him, then that thief shall die. So you shall purge the evil from among you. So this is even more clear, Deuteronomy 24:7. If you get kidnapped and then sold, obviously as a slave, then you get the death penalty also. That's the Old Testament manner of dealing with involuntary servitude by abduction. However, voluntary servitude was permitted with qualifications, according to Exodus 21:2-6 and Deuteronomy 15:12-18. The Old Testament prohibited returning runaway slaves too, in Deuteronomy 23:15-16, which would seem to defy America's Fugitive Slave Law of 1850. Paul discussed how slaves and masters were to act in Ephesians 6:5-9, Colossians 3:22-25, 4:1, and 1 Timothy 6:1-2, and Titus 2:9-10, but he did not endorse involuntary slavery or the Roman slave system. As McDowell notes, God's desire for any who are enslaved is freedom, Luke 4:18 and Galatians 5:1. Those who are set free in Christ then need to be prepared to walk in liberty. So interestingly enough, when we look at the scriptures, we find in the old covenant certain voluntary slaveries were allowed, especially for debt or committing a crime. What Rush Dooney distinguishes a slave by nature and a slave by choice, particularly where debt and theft were concerned. That's the Deuteronomy 23 passage. So there was a time when slavery was permitted, especially of pagans, believers or people in the covenant, the old covenant, the children of Israel. They were not allowed to enslave themselves or their own brethren permanently. There was a time when they would become free, but pagans could be enslaved indefinitely, which is interesting. But they could only, it was always a slavery that was not by kidnapping or abduction. It was not forcing someone to be involuntarily embroiled or enslaved to someone else. So this is somewhat interesting. Now, why in the world did people get enslaved? Well, it wasn't just merely by people buying you from in a foreign country. Again, there could be all sorts of problems you have economically, or you may be completely irresponsible and you need someone to care for you. And so effectively, by getting into debt or committing some crime, you could have got enslaved. In the Roman Empire during that time, there were many people who were just captured and abducted. And that's why the Apostle Paul, I think, in 1 Corinthians 7 says, if you can avail yourselves of the opportunity, you taking the action, do it. And this is a key translational issue, I know, or interpretive issue. How do we deal with availing yourselves of the opportunity? Is it simply praying and hoping the master lets you go free? Or is it simply asking him to be manumitted? And who knows, you might get punished for that. Or is it taking the action yourself to free yourself from slavery by actually running away? I think it's running away. When we come back in a minute, we're going to talk about the special case of Philemon. But right now, we're going to go to a quick break. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with a government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And our word for the day from the Tyranny Response Network research staff is Cassandra. It's a noun. It means one who prophesies disaster and whose warnings are unheeded. That's Cassandra, two S's, and one who prophesies disaster and whose warnings are unheeded, after Cassandra in Greek mythology, who received the gift of prophecy but was later cursed, never to be believed. Interesting. So we can all remember what the word Cassandra is today, at least for a little while. Well, we wanted to also give a couple quick announcements as we can. Remember, all the things you hear as far as local events and stuff on my show or on Rip and Richie and Bob Llewellyn's new show in the afternoon from 4:36 can be found at tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. You'll be able to go to those websites and find all the details of the things we mention here online, including the Times Examiner. That's the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, read the Times Examiner instead. It supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. Will you find any neocons in its pages? Yes, unfortunately, you will find a couple here and there. There's Tony Beam and a few others that continue to spout neocon blather, unfortunately, but it won't hurt you. And you can even skip over those if you really don't want to listen to that sort of stuff. There's plenty of other good articles in there by people worth reading, including Dr. Walter Williams, Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit. Get your subscription by calling 864-268-0576. $25 a year in-state, $27 a year out-of-state. 864-268-0576. Be sure to give them a call today. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner and help your business grow and help the paper, give David a call at 864-859-6817. And ask for David specifically, 864-859-6817. Well, here's another piece of information from my article about Philemon, because this is one thing that people raise. Well, look, they call me to be a slave, I can't resist, because, you know, that's just the way it is. I can't complain about it. And even if slavery is, or conscription is slavery, as you're saying, Dr. Coben, I still have to be able to, you know, just comply with it, because look at what happened with Philemon. Well, here is actually an interesting case. Let me read a little bit from this article draft that I've got posted online at policyofliberty.net from my Theology of Public Policies of Enslavement. The New Testament gives us some clues about dealing with slavery. The Apostle Paul informs us that Onesimus, once enslaved for unknown reasons, departed for a while from his master Philemon, and that's told to us in Philemon 1:15. A Christian slaveholder living in Asia Minor, probably Colossae. He had been an unprofitable servant to Philemon, and according to Philemon 1:10, we do not know if Onesimus became free of bondage legally or illegally. Paul simply stated that he was sending him back, Philemon 1:12, from Rome, and we do not know the reason why. The most common understanding of the event is that Paul confronted Onesimus about his rebellion, and after repenting, he was being returned to his lawful master and owner. Accordingly, Paul and Onesimus were glorifying God by obeying Roman law. Yet Paul was hoping that Philemon would do a good deed and free his dear friend Onesimus, thus granting permission for him to work further with Paul. However, there are a few other possible interpretations. First, it could be that Onesimus had become legally freed, but had defrauded his former master, which is implied in Philemon 1:18, requiring him now to make amends before Paul could in good conscience continue to associate with him. Onesimus did not run away, as John Gill notes, that's a great Baptist pastor, but simply departed after surreptitiously embezzling something from Philemon. Second, it could be that Onesimus was enslaved on account of some debt that he owed Philemon and had justly rebelled, running away. But upon conversion, both Paul and Onesimus realized the need to make amends with Philemon. And Paul was hoping that Philemon would forgive Onesimus' debt so that he could work with Paul's ministry. Third, it could be also that Onesimus had unjustly enslaved, perhaps by had been unjustly enslaved, perhaps by abduction, before Philemon was converted. But Onesimus had escaped and was subsequently converted under Paul's ministry. After being discipled, Onesimus became profitable in the faith, Philemon 1:11, and became very close to Paul. Thus, Paul was sending him back with considerable regret as a forerunner of his own planned visit. Or perhaps Paul had some special information to send to Asia Minor, and Onesimus, knowing the way, was a logical choice as a messenger. Either way, Paul wanted to ensure that there would be no grief caused by the former relationship, and thus Paul wrote to Philemon to guarantee Onesimus' security. Paul evidently hoped to see both Philemon and Onesimus together in short order. Philemon 1:22 says he's planning to get there and make a bed ready for him or a place ready for him. While a case may be made for any of these possibilities, one of the latter interpretations seems most plausible given the principles taught elsewhere in the New Testament, especially where Paul tells slaves to avail themselves of the opportunity to be free when possible. So there's a controversial issue, how we deal with Philemon. It's not just an open and shut case. There are other ways that we could easily and probably better interpret the passages in Philemon with regard to slavery. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. Joan Coben. Glad you have. Hope we're helping you think a little bit better this morning. And we'd love to hear from you if you get a chance to call 864-244-8177. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Right now the weather in Greenville, Spartanburg is 79, downtown 81, Anderson 81, and Clemson 79. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy. Hot, humid with highs in the upper 90s. North winds around 5 miles per hour, becoming southeast this afternoon.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Had a couple of questions come in, not about the slavery issue or conscription, the draft, that is, but just a couple of folks sending in stuff. First of all, one came in from Bob, who said that Inglis has surrendered to the globalists, specifically citing a piece written up by Ken Porter. He's the one who heads up the Stop the FTAA here in the upstate of South Carolina. Apparently, Bob Inglis, the congressman from the upstate of South Carolina, has decided to cave in and vote in favor of CAFTA. He spoke out against Andy Mollenbrock of the Constitution Party, who was opposing CAFTA valiantly, as was Dr. Stephen Yates, our good friend here, and some other folks, including people in business like Richard, or Milliken, I believe his name is. The first name, I believe, is Richard. And at any rate, all these folks were against the CAFTA movement for various reasons, the CAFTA bill, and apparently Bob Inglis didn't care. He was going to vote with the president and support this thing, and Bob wanted to let us know this. Thanks for the email, Bob. Appreciate that. We already knew he was a sellout and surrendering to the globalists, but good to have someone else pointing it out as well. I also had an email here from Chuck, who's writing in about legal tender. In this article I've been reading a bit out of that I'd put up about legal tender laws, that we are forced to use fiat money. He wants to point out the following. He says, "Hi, John, there's at least one other legal tender, the Liberty Dollar. You can find out about it at libertydollar.org. It's not widely used, but okay, or not widely known, but okay to use." Well, again, the fact that we coin our own money, which I'm in favor of doing, especially if it's made of precious metals, doesn't mean that they're going to recognize that our money is actually, legal tender and so forth. It doesn't fall under their umbrella. Of course, we can use these Liberty Dollars, and we encourage you to do so. People accept them. They're well more, there's not a problem with people accepting them. It's not a problem in the use in and of itself. But whether or not they get legal tender status is another issue entirely. That is, as far as I understand, a monopoly right or position reserved by the state for its own nefarious dealings with the Federal Reserve notes. That's my understanding of it at any rate, but by all means, check out libertydollar.org and use it if you possibly can, because it is a great benefit to use commodity money rather than the fiat stuff. It's just not very convenient, not widely accepted, and you can't get your pay in silver and gold, unfortunately, anymore. Appreciate the comment, though, Chuck. As always, appreciate the support from the regular listeners to the Christian Worldview Show. Well, earlier in the show, we talked about, again, the draft as slavery. What do we think about slavery? And we talked about how the Bible doesn't teach that all slavery is wrong, but it does teach that being abducted and kidnapped and put into slavery is wrong. It also teaches the principle that if we can avail ourselves of the opportunity to become free, we should do so. And that more than likely, Philemon had lost slave Onesimus under such circumstances. And it's not entirely clear. It's a lot. You have to read into the passage a lot of things and a lot of assumptions to get to a particular interpretive point of view. So it's not really conclusive evidence of one way or another in his case. But I think we can look at 1 Corinthians 7:21 and simply say, if you can avail yourselves of the opportunity to be free from slavery, illegally or illegally, even by not registering for the draft and not getting a driver license and not driving around without one or traveling without a driver's license, then by all means do so. It doesn't really matter what the government says in this regard. You can resist it and be right before God, in my view. You may have a different view or have a comment on that. If you do, give a call to the show, our backup line 864-201-6955, or our main line 864-244-8177. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. That's tomorrow night. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and the Christian Worldview show on the Tyranny Response Network. One thing we want to remind you about the Tyranny Response Network is the petition for the South Carolina fundamental rights. And you can find it on the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website under related media, the related media link. Please scroll down today if you haven't done so already. Find that link down there that says sign the petition or the petition for fundamental rights in South Carolina, and go ahead and type in your signature. It'll take you less than 30 seconds. Then tell other people about the petition. It's very important. It's vitally important if you want to protect your property rights in South Carolina and elsewhere, and other kinds of rights, I should say, that we sign this petition. It won't take but a minute to do, not even that, probably 30 seconds, and it'll be well worth it and be a very great encouragement to those of us who are trying to make a difference in our world. So please go today to the TyrannyResponse.net website, to the related media link, and scroll down and find the petition there and sign it. 277 people have signed the petition so far. We're hoping that a lot more will do so in the near future. Well, we've been talking about all sorts of things related to slavery this morning and the draft, the whole issue of conscription. Hopefully people are being educated and informed about this. I'm going to skip ahead and read us a few news stories towards the end of the show here. We didn't get a chance to different stories today. My production crew wanted me to remind you also this morning that if any of you listening to my voice today are interested in supporting the Tyranny Response Network by doing some volunteer work, we are right now in need of people to help with production, to help with various other tasks in producing the signal and promoting things. You can simply go to the website tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com, click on the contacts tab, and email one of the people there at the Tyranny Response Network and let them know that you're able and willing to do something to help on a part-time basis, whether it's 5 hours a week or 10 hours a week or even 1 hour a week. We would be glad to have your help and enlist your service if you're dedicated to the cause of truth and liberty as we are here. So by all means, go to the website and send an email to one of those folks there listed and let them know of your great interest. I also want to remind you that Rip and Richie's show is going to be held again the second day today, 4:30 to 6 p.m. You'll be able to hear the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse along with Bob Llewellyn. Hope you can tune in on your afternoon drive back from work. It's good. It was a great show yesterday, and I'm sure it'll be a good one today once again. Well, what else has been going on in the world? Well, we have a couple of things here. Let's see. What should we pick first of all? How about this one? Well, maybe not that one. I'm looking at my research staff stuff, and I'm thinking, well, how much time do we have left to talk about some of this stuff? Well, here's one. It depends on your definition of support the troops by Michael Gaddy. It would appear that our past two presidents have had a real problem with the definition of certain words. With Clinton, it was darned that darn pesky word is. Now it would appear that Dubia is having a trouble with the or W, the word chaos. He knew that in his speech, The Nation last night, he would be have to prepare the big, dumb middle in this country for increasingly terrible news that he would be pouring forth from Iraq in the next few months. He said that at times, events there may appear to be chaotic to even the untrained eye of anyone who is not in the pocket of the Republican Party. The entire episode of Iraq has been nothing but chaos. First, we have a war perpetuated in the bowels of the White House by people who totally ignored any evidence that it did not fit their needs. Evidence that it did not exist was fabricated, and anyone in the military who did not toe the line was dismissed. Ever heard the saying about the fruit from a poisonous tree? That is what we have in Iraq. Everything is chaos. We have had more deaths since Bush declared the hostilities over than we did during the war. The man and all the neocon that all the neocons love and adore, and who provided them with the rotten intel that led to this fiasco, has now been determined by the Defense Intelligence Agency to be working with the Iranians. It seems that we have done the folks in Iran a huge favor by getting rid of their old nemesis Saddam. Since the majority of folks in both Iraq and Iran are Shiites, it would appear that we have stepped in with both feet. But back to the definitions. The absolute worst phrase to come out of this mess is supporting the troops. Bush and the neocons want to be sure we all support the war. In order to ensure that in their minds, they must insist that in supporting the war is supporting the troops. They actually don't give a rip about the troops, as the letter included in this article will show. Someday, perhaps before it's too late, Americans will realize that all the people who run the state are concerned with nothing but money. If it takes the blood of our children to grease the wheels of the military-industrial complex, and their cronies can prosper financially, then so be it. I don't like this word, military-industrial complex, by the way. It sounds like a Marxist word. I realize this guy, I don't know who this guy is or where he's coming from, but Michael Gaddy is, but he's certainly right about the insane war that George Bush is conducting against the people that didn't aggress us, meddling in other people's affairs, and sending Americans over to die. We support troops. We support people doing their job. We don't support the war effort that it's being engaged in because it's wrong. Why would we support it? We're happy to see American soldiers valiantly fighting, but we're unhappy to see them placed in harm's way in an act of aggression against a people that did nothing to us. That's a very sad case. There is no evidence that we needed to go over to Iraq as a country and attack those people because they were not attacking us. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'm up for the final break here. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here's a few other news stories that are going on. The town leaders have opposed the seizure of Justice Souter's home. Well, believe it or not, I guess it really shouldn't surprise us. An advertising entrepreneur leading to an effort to seize David Souter's home in the response to the High Court's controversial eminent domain decision is encouraging citizens to mount campaigns against leaders of the justices' New Hampshire's town. Logan Darrell Clements said today on Joseph Arrow's WorldNet Data Radio Archive program that the five members of the board of the Selectmen of Ware, New Hampshire, rejected his proposal to take Souter's property, prompting a call for the removal from office. So we need to know, you know, that's right. They're not going to be giving the home of Souter to somebody. They're probably scared to death of what Souter will do to them, being he's a powerful justice. But this is a travesty of justice and liberty, showing that, once again, if you're in politics, you can get away with murder and not have to worry about the consequences. You can do anything you want, but the common man, the people of New London, get raped and pillaged by these people. Here's another story about Feinstein, one of our favorite California governesses, senators. Feinstein gun ban could soon come up in the Senate. While the big news of the day is President Bush's pick for Supreme Court, more on this below, Gun Owners of America is hearing rumblings that Senate will soon be considering legislation to slow down the number of frivolous lawsuits against gun makers. Although Gun Owners of America supported this legislation, Senate Bill 397, we must remember that anti-gun senators used this legislation last year to load it with all kinds of anti-gun riders, like things like gun show restrictions, semi-auto bans, and more. So we're going to be on the watch and lookout for that revision of the Feinstein law. Here's a conscientious objector in Iraq being put on trial. Will the voice of conscience be heard? Kenneth Zeese writes about the court-martial of Kevin Benderman. On Wednesday, May 11th, the court-martial of Sergeant Kevin Benderman begins. Sergeant Benderman, who served in the military for 8 years, including one tour of duty in Iraq, filed for conscientious objector status after seeing the reality of the war in Iraq. He has been denied and now faces court-martial on two counts: for desertion with intent to avoid hazardous duty and missing movement by design. He could spend 5 years incarcerated if found guilty of the first charge, and up to 2 years for the second. Kevin Benderman's opposition to the war, all war, is based on his experience in Iraq. As Representative Cynthia McKinney said on the floor of the House of Representatives on April 28th, Senate Sergeant Benderman's opposition is not the theoretical, it's sincere opposition of a student peace activist. Kevin Benderman has seen things that none of God's children should have to endure. He was present when the superior ordered his unit to open fire on small children who were throwing rocks at the soldiers of his unit. He chased the hungry dogs from an open mass grave filled with the bodies of young children, old men, and women. Kevin saw the burned child crying in pain while all around her ignore her injuries. Benderman, who is from Tennessee, comes from a family that has served in wars back to the American Revolution. He has heard the stories of his family's exploits and grew up in a culture that supported the military and did their duty by serving. But as a result of actually experiencing war and considering the implications in our modern world, Sergeant Benderman has come to the conclusion we must now leave war behind. And that's what he says. At any rate, this guy's on trial. It must be horrible in Iraq. We've only heard stories of the children and these other innocent people being slaughtered by the American army and by terrorists as well. And this is a tragedy, obviously. And I think he should be a conscientious objector, and I'm glad that he's doing what he's doing, but he's probably going to suffer at the brutal hand of the neocons, unfortunately. Well, here's George W. Bush breaking his promise on property rights. Bush breaks the promise to nominate a Scalia or a Thomas. He was supposed to do that, of course. But when he nominated Judge Roberts to replace the retiring Senator Jay O'Connor, President Bush broke that promise. Judge Roberts has repeatedly defended expanded state authority over private property, court-ordered confiscation of income and property. This is not a man in the mold of Justice Scalia or Thomas. Government can compel ranchers to pay for co-op advertising their beef products. Telling landowners you have stolen their land because they can't pay taxes on it is wrong. And we know Bush has been a sellout on this. And people who like property rights think that Bush has sold him out by appointing Roberts and not to nominating another Scalia or another Thomas. And we also have Iraq being cited as the unwinnable conflict. It's the unwinnable conflict, it says, according to Patrick Coburn. He charts Bush and Blair's winnable war turned into a mess that's inspiring worldwide insurgency. The Duke of Wellington warning hawkish politicians in Britain against ill-considered military intervention abroad once said, "Great nations do not have small wars." He meant that supposedly limiting conflicts can inflict terrible damage on powerful states. Having been what small war in Spain would have done to Napoleon, he knew what he was talking about. The war in Iraq is now joining the Boer War in 1899 and the Suez Crisis in 1956 as ill-considered ventures that have done Britain more harm than good. It has demonstrably strengthened the Al-Qaeda by providing it with a large pool of activists and sympathizers across the Muslim world it did not possess before the invasion of 2003. So we have now the unwinnable war in Iraq that's spawning more terrorism. And we agree, we do see the same thing indeed occurring once again. What else have we got here for you? Well, we got 1 minute left to go, so probably not a whole lot of time we can do much with, but we will say the pro-lifers are selling out, the so-called pro-lifers, by supporting John D.G. Roberts. This guy is clearly not a pro-life guy, and yet he is now our Supreme Court nominee, and Jefferson Gorge wanted to let us know that in his article in Viewpoint, Pro-Lifers Selling Out. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you did today. Hope we made your day better and helped you think a little bit more deeply. Look forward to seeing you again right at the same place here tomorrow for another edition of Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.